And we are recording. If you could just tell me your name and how long you've lived in town, please.
My name is Pamela Hochstetter, and I've been in town for 41 and a half years.
So what brought you here?
What brought us here? Well, it was us. It was me and my family. My husband, Glenn, was working as a helicopter pilot at that point, and he got a job flying. He had his aircraft at Danbury Airport, and we were looking for a place to live, and he was doing some reconnaissance flights, flying over areas, and he saw Bridgewater peeking up out of the morning fog.
Okay.
And he said, that looks beautiful, and it must be like Camelot, and we called a realtor, we got in the car, and that was that.
So, obviously, it's pristine and very bucolic, but was there anything about the community that attracted you to this place, or is it just sort of landscape?
We were both originally from Queens, New York.
Okay.
New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And we had determined that ultimately we wanted to live in a more rural type setting. That
okay.
was what appealed to us. So by and large, it was the visual, you know, the flora and the fauna. And also it was a matter of economy at that point. 41 and a half years ago, Bridgewater for a small house like we were buying was relatively affordable. So that was the criteria. We didn't do any big research. I mean, I think I was 27 years old. Maybe he was 30 years old, something like that. So we were young with two young kids doing the hustle. So we didn't have time for careful reflection. We needed to live someplace, and we needed to be able to afford it. And this was going to be the first home that we were buying.
Okay.
So it was very practical and aesthetic and...
So,
and we trusted our gut.
Hmm?
That's pretty much how we've operated all these many years. We'll be married 50 years this year, and that's our MO.
So what's if you think back, what was sort of the what was Bridgewater like when you moved here? Can you describe it? Community
yeah.
and visually.
Yeah. It was very quiet. Just previous to Bridgewater, for a year and a half, we had been living in Ridgefield,
mm-hmm.
which also, relative to today, was very quiet.
Okay.
I don't remember your question. So what was it like? It was just plain quiet. The kids, it was just quiet. I mean, the kids were, I think, in the first and second grade, respectively. So our into the community, I guess, was through the kids being in school and what parents you met. Somehow I got involved in a homemakers group, and
mm-hmm.
if you know anything about me, I ain't no homemaker. I don't claim to be. I never wanted to be. But that was a way in, and Glenn was just so busy making a living,
mm-hmm.
you know, flying here, there, and everywhere. It wasn't a strategic kind of thing for us.
Right, right.
You know, we landed. That's what happened.
Yeah.
We happened to land here, and we landed well, very well.
So you mentioned that you entered into this homemakers club. Was there any resistance to the fact that you guys were from New York? You were from out of town. Was it hard to sort of find your place in the community?
That's a funny question. I would say not glaringly, overtly
mm-hmm.
was there resistance, but I remember one person, and I will not mention
her name,
in this homemakers group, and she was like one of the grand dames, and she came from a more well-to-do area that I won't either mention. So in my screening, it's not exactly like pledging for a sorority, but you got scrutinized, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I told her where my mother lived, which was a, quote, prestigious place. I neglected to mention that I was born in Brooklyn, and I was mostly raised in Queens. So there was some of that.
Right.
You know.
Right. Was it at all coming from that area, living in such a sort of rural area? Was it a culture shock for you?
In a way, yes. And the way was, I loved the beauty. That was not an issue. And happily, we bought this house that came with a gorgeous in-ground swimming pool, so that was good for the kids. So that was all good. But I am an artist, a professional artist. I've been an artist, I would say, since I'm 11 years old. And I was used to being able to get on a bus and get on the subway and get into the city to go to galleries and museums at will, on a whim. And I was up here in the woods.
Right.
So there was, you're reminding me, and I haven't thought about this in a long time, there was a kind of deprivation, really.
And how did you overcome that? Or did you?
I'm still working on that. I'll tell you, first thing that came to mind was I had set up at that point I was a ceramic artist, and I had set up a full-blown studio in our basement, a walk-out basement, and this is upon first moving here, and I committed to a year of doing that and seeing how things went. And after that first year, I said, and I don't know if I can use this language, but I said, screw this. This is not really working for me. It was too insulated. It was too isolated. So I didn't yet have my bachelor's degree, so I got my butt down to WestCon, which was affordable and relatively close, and I went back to school so that I could be in the world and be in community with other people and feel stimulated. So that was my strategy.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
And have you ever tried to bring any of that to Bridgewater? I mean, through any sort of community groups or anything?
Bring what to Bridgewater?
That I hate to use this, like that artsiness.
That artsiness?
Yeah.
I did some work at Burnham Library, not Burnham Library, Burnham School. I've had solo shows at the Burnham Library. And for 17 years, because then I also went back to school again. I guess I needed more stimulation. This time I went to Yale, and I got a master's degree. And for 17 years, I've been facilitating groups in, I guess, what I would call expressive art.
Mm-hmm.
So sure, I've brought that as much as I've chosen to Bridgewater. And I've had open studios, and sure, so I've integrated who I am into the community, but always with a mind to not lose my privacy either.
Right. Has that been hard in this, and like not in specifically this town, but in a town of this size? Is it hard to lose your privacy?
No, it's not hard. The visual that I had when we first moved here 41 years ago, and I still retain it, is that many people who live here, including myself from time to time, just put up our energetic white picket fences around our AO, right? So you can choose to be as involved or not involved as you want to, which is really nice. You know, people will totally respect your need for privacy.
Right.
And at the same time, and you stimulated that thought when we just began the conversation, that's good, so you can do your privacy, but you need to take the initiative to build community, or you're going to wither up and die, right? So the privacy is not a problem. The weaving yourself into the community, that you need to make some effort, not huge effort, and maybe less now than back in the day, but yeah, so you need to strike the right balance for myself.
So you talked about the Homemakers Club, working at the school, doing some stuff at Burnham Library. How do you build your community?
How do I build my community?
Yeah, you said...
My art community?
Just in general. I mean, you said that you need to build your own community here because it can be difficult.
Right.
So how do you build yours? And it can be simple things. I mean, you're a regular library user. That's building community right
there.
That's
one thing. We had been members of the Congregational Church. That's long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that was community building. I'm a member of a book group,
mm-hmm.
a book group that I helped co-found, if you will. I think we're active now for 13 years.
Wow.
We only meet once a month, but still there's conversation in between, and I do look forward to that. I'm very friendly with people at the post office and the Bridgewater Village store and the library. So where I do go, I'm even the Bridgewater convenience store, when I'm physically present somewhere, I'm engaging people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a passer through. So
I don't
have magical answers
for you. No, there's no every answer is right.
Right.
How has the community changed, or do you think it has changed in your 40-some-odd years of being here?
Well, I think that it's become more affluent, for sure. And compared to what I remember, more stimulating. Those are the two things.
Okay.
There's different energy, more, I don't mean this at all in a negative way, but more in your face energy. You
mm-hmm.
know, people are perhaps more open, or maybe I'm the one who's more open. It feels more alive to me.
It's because of the library.
The library. And I want to give Peter May his due.
Absolutely.
Doing what he did with the Village Store and the Bistro now. I mean, that's a community center as far as I'm concerned. And I'm not a hanger out there. But when I'm there, I'm even just passing through. I always see somebody I know and you get to chat.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's... So we had talked earlier about having to find community in this place, because there aren't, it's not like a larger town where there are
right.
so many places you
right.
can meet and interact with people. And I think the community centers that we have, whether it's the library or the school or the bistro, they're all very strong.
Yeah.
Very, very strong.
Yeah.
So I have one last question.
Sure.
What is your ideal Bridgewater? And what I mean by that is, you know, 50 or 100 years down the road, what would you hope that it would be? It's a big question, and a little bit of silence is fine, but...
But not too much silence,
No, that's
right?
fine. I can always edit some out.
At the risk of sounding like an old-timer, I would hope that it would continue to retain its rural character, and at the same time continue to grow in its vibrancy,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that the library continues to thrive, and maybe it will be out of necessity, and I hope not, that people will be, quote, forced to come together more because of circumstances in the world, economic, social, whatever. But I think if there's a healthy potential in the world for, what do I want to say? Like, there's a beautiful, and it's flourishing, seed or plant. I'm not being eloquent.
No, you're fine.
Seedling, right? A nice, healthy seedling, I would hope that it would continue to flourish and grow for everyone who lives in town. You know, that the energies that are brought to the town will be positive ones, and that people will be forthcoming. And as I'm saying, and I'm not being fatalistic at all, but there's stuff going on in the world right now. So, and we don't know where any of that is going to lead. So I think Bridgewater is a beautiful center that has the potential to offer a lot of support. You know, the people within Bridgewater can really come together as they need to, if they need to. And I didn't expect to say anything like that at all, but that's a reality.
Right. And I think that was brilliant. I very well said. Mm. So I'm going to stop recording now.
Okay.
And I'd really like to thank you.
Okay.